it kind of goes along with what the message is about. It's going to be a 3-week message, so I ask you all to just stay put for 3 weeks. Can y'all do that? No, you're not allowed to go to work. No, this is going to be a faith message. And if you haven't noticed, a lot of the messages have been in that vein, dealing with faith. So we're going to go in deeper. We're going to take a different approach, though. We're going to approach faith from an area that's not normally connected, okay? And that connection is going to be through knowledge and understanding. We're going to approach faith from a more logical perspective. I don't want to say logic necessarily because that's a perception, but we're going to take it in a different approach because one of the things is faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So it's a hard concept to understand because you can't see it, right? It's not there. It's not tangible. But what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to bring a tangible element into this study of faith to hopefully what we can do is start developing a more knowledgeable understanding of how faith works. And more importantly, and this is the key, okay, our goal, our end game, is that we understand how it works so we can utilize it in every day. Not just one time, not just for one thing that God wants to do, but for everything. For every single area of your life, no matter what. You can institute faith some way, some shape, some form, and watch the realities that God wants to develop in your life come forward. Does that sound good? Are we excited? I don't think we're excited. Pastor Mike, get these guys excited. Come on. All right. So how are we going to do this? What physical example are we going to do? Ed, please toss me the device. The Rubik's Cube. A kid's toy. I knew eventually God was going to reveal some kind of spiritual principle about this thing. I knew it was going to come. I didn't know when or how or what, but I knew it was going to happen. Most of you guys, if you know me, you know that I enjoy this. It's a fun thing for me. It's relaxing. But for most people, this thing is a nightmare. It sits on their desk unsolved, and it cannot be solved because they just don't understand it. It confounds them. How's this like faith? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. So, we understand how faith works, right? For most people, faith is a basic principle. You're taught in the beginning of church studies, you're taught, you know, faith is how you receive God. Faith is how you receive Christ, right? You're saved by faith, right? What else? It's how you walk. It's what you pray, right? You pray using faith, right? These are all things that you're trained in an early age, or even when you just start getting saved and you start learning about who you are in God, you learn the basic principle of faith, right? But what happens when after maybe you get settled and we call it the honeymoon ends? Everybody remember your honeymoon, your Jesus honeymoon? When like you got saved and everything was awesome. You wanted to tell everybody about Jesus because he did so many awesome things in your life. And then you start catching the, I don't need to hear about you, Jesus. I got a lot of problems. Jesus ain't here to help my problems. Whoa, but he did this for me. Yeah, that's great. He works for you, but it doesn't work for me. And then you get that like sour grapes. And then you get more sour grapes. And then all of a sudden your honeymoon's over. And now it's just you and Jesus, right? And now you got to figure out this whole thing. What do I do? Now I have Jesus in my life, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, things are great. Okay, now it settles down, and now it's real. Now we're talking about the reality, right? We hit that real left turn, and now we're in Jesus' realm, and we find out how taking Jesus and putting him in your life is not just roses. It's actually hard work. It's confrontational. It's disruptive. He disrupts your lifestyle. He disrupts your habits. He disrupts your sinful behaviors. He starts convicting you of things you should and shouldn't be doing. And now it's not so rosy colored anymore. The honeymoon ended. Now, this is where faith gets rattled. This is where a lot of believers start to lose faith and lose hope. Why? What happens? What ends up happening to us to derail us from this so strong a faith that saved us? We can believe that, We can believe we have heaven, right? But then why does it stop there? What happened? Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to utilize knowledge in a different perspective, okay, to open up faith a little bit more so that we understand how it works. And hopefully the end game is to prevent that derailing. You won't be derailed when you know how it works. Much like you won't be confounded by this kid's toy when you know how to solve it. Once you learn how to solve it, it's like riding a bike. How many people ride a bike? Okay? You don't forget, right? You learn, the first time you learn how to ride a bike, it's kind of tough. You fall, you bruise your knee, you scuffed up. Enemy wants to tell you, oh no, don't get back on. Don't get back on, you're gonna get hurt again. Right? But the truth is, once you learn it, and you know how to work, and you know how to use the device, it's a breeze. You can get on a bike when you're 87 and still ride it. You may not have rode a bike for 40 years. You still know how to do it. It takes a little rust getting off, but you figure it out again and you're back on. So is your faith. The faith is exactly the same way. So what we're going to do is we're going to break it apart. And the first thing that we have to do, and this is going to be part of our training, we're going to use this as a visual example throughout the lesson, is to take it in bits and pieces. The first part of faith is observation. Not with these eyes. Not your physical eyes, but your spiritual eyes. Okay? And what do you mean? What are your spiritual eyes? Well, faith is a spiritual principle. So when you're observing things of the faith, you can't observe them with your physical eyes because it's not seen, right? So we have to move into a spiritual realm. So we're going to talk about that. In order for us ahead with our faith and understand where we're going, we have to understand first and foremost that faith isn't just you. There's a bigger picture. Okay? There's a lot more to faith than just what's going on in your world. All right? That's going to be mandatory that we get that concept. There is a much bigger picture that hasn't been painted yet. You may not know where it's going. You only got a couple brushstrokes on there and that's your part, but there's much more. It's a huge canvas and it has yet to been painted. Okay? There's a big picture in store. There's a big, big thing going on. Turn with me, if you can, to Luke 24. We got two scriptures here in Luke. I'm reading out of New King James, if you were just wondering. So last chapter of Luke, we're going to go to verse 45 and then just skip down to 49. And it says, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Okay? Christ opened up our understanding so that we may comprehend the things that are revealed to us in his word. Amen? All right? That's going to be very key. And then we go down to 49 and he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." We're going to talk a lot about promises today. "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And we go on further into Acts. And what is that power, Pastor Mike? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the power. Okay? These are two very key principles in faith. Huge. The Holy Spirit, huge in our study of faith. But also, understanding that you have been given the ability to comprehend what is written in this book. It doesn't matter if you are completely illiterate. Through salvation in Jesus Christ, this has been opened up and has been revealed. And everything in between it is the revelation that God's going to continue to expand and grow. And what does it grow? It grows your faith. Okay? So this is key. So where's that revelation come from? Well, that revelation is going to come from that Holy Spirit, which imbues us with power. Okay? Power is a whole nother game. We're going to get to that later. That's big. That's huge. But we're going to get to that later. So what does that apply here? Well, we're going to talk about observation with this wonderful toy. Generically speaking, most people observe this cube and they see it has how many sides? Six sides. Okay? This is a visual observation. All right? We look at something visually and we can fall or succumb to just a visual rundown. Go to 2 Corinthians. We got a lot of scripture, by the way. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So we cannot rely, when it comes to our faith, what we see with our eyes physically. And I'll show you right here, right now, with this wonderful device. If you try to solve this by using the sides of the cube, it will never happen. You may get two, but you will never get a third. I can guarantee it. It's impossible. So visually observing this and trying to solve it through a visual observation, you will not move further. In faith, you cannot move further if you're relying on your physical sight to see you through. It can't happen. You will fail every single time because your eyes will deceive you. Oh, and by the way, the enemy knows that you're using your eyes. So guess what he's going to do? He's going to put a big giant roadblock right in the middle of it. So you think that you can't overcome. He's going to sway you away because you're using your eyesight. You're using your physical eyes. You look at a situation and you see, oh, this is my situation. It's impossible. Let's use finances. How many people have financial issues? When you look at your ledger, you look at it and you go, how am I going to do this? If you're using your physical eyes, you're losing the battle. That's right. You need to speak life and believe not with your physical eyes, but what God can do. Because God can do what? He can do the impossible, right? Okay? There's nothing that he can't do. But there's rules. The second way we observe is through a physical observation. Now, I have this in my hand. I wish I had enough to give to everybody. I'd put one in everybody's hand so you could all physically observe this. But I'll pick on somebody. I will pick on Suzette for today. So, Miss Suzette, if you twist any side, what happens? The cube divides into a section, right? Okay? If we take it and we put it in our hands physically, you understand there's a mechanical component to the cube that allows it to divide into three layers. Now, most people would not understand this physically looking at it, okay, with your eyes. If you're just observing it visually, you wouldn't know that. But if you pick it up and you tangibly hold it in your hands, now you can see that it's not just a six-sided block. It actually has divisions. And in this cube, it has three, okay? Three divisions. Turn with me to Luke 6. Verses 47 and 48. It says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." A physical manifestation of faith. We have to physically see a resolve. We can't just go willy-nilly. We have to physically have tangible things, okay? So when we physically touch this cube, we understand there's a moving component. There's an aspect to it that's real now, and it's not just a visual observation. The last step, and this is the most important one, is truth. Truth is going to be the catalyst of all observations. If we do not come out of a vein of truth, the observation might as well be worthless. And there has to be truth behind it, okay? So a truth observation, when it comes to the cube, if Ms. Suzette turns a cube any way, she'll notice if she pays attention and looks at it, that the centers of the cube will never move. They'll twist, but they will never change their orientation from one position to another. That is an impossibility. That is truth, okay? It does not waver. It does not falter. It's steady every single time. It is the only thing that we, as believers in Christ, can rely on is the truth. Because everything else is going to come from the enemy is what? It's a deception and a lie. And that's what's going to try to deter you and derail your faith. So you have to have truth. It's the only thing that's going to work in your favor to establish your faith and ground it. John 16. verses 13 through 15 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." With truth, all things, say all things, all things are revealed. All things are given to you. But you don't have truth, you don't have all things. So how are you going to work in your faith if you don't have the tools? How are you going to walk out your faith if you don't have truth? You need it. It's mandatory. It's mandatory. Okay? So, with the principles, and we're learning this, and this is just basics, if you had found that cube on a table and you observed it from more of a visual observation, you will find yourself confounded and you will find yourself stumped. If you pick it up, you may understand, oh, this thing moves. Okay, great. Now you understand it's divided and it moves in different sections, but it could still confuse you. But when you understand a truth principle of the cube, which is those six centers do not change, now you have a foundation on which you can build. And that same principle applies to your faith. You cannot build your faith up if it is not firmly founded on the truth, which is the Word of God. Amen? So that is our first mandatory step. We have to observe what it is God is doing in this wonderful manual. B-I-B-L-E. What's it mean? Basic instructions before leaving earth, right? This is your instruction manual. If you want to learn how to live and walk out your faith, you need to read the instruction manual. I know, guys, that's a hard thing for us to do. We like to try and do it on our own without reading the book, right? Right? Women, you got this covered. You got it. You're already like halfway through. You're like, I know how to do this. Right? Turn with me, if you can, to 1 Kings. And this is where we're going to be kind of spending a lot of time with. We're going to talk about a really awesome area of faith. 2 chapter, verse 3. We're going to spend some time with this one, and we're going to spend some time with another area in Joshua. It says, "And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." These are going to be the fundamental basics. When we start using faith, we have to understand, and this is going to be the end game. Remember, we have a goal. The end game is going to be that we prosper. How many of you right now can say you prosper? That you prosper? It's about half. Okay? Just want to put that down on record. By the end of this, I want everybody's hand up. Why? Because you are going to speak life into an area of your walk that you're going to believe before you're done. Right. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The land has already been given over to you. It's flowing with milk and honey. So therefore, you prosper. You already prosper. But because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, you haven't seen what has already been given to you. But you will by the time we're done. Okay? I promise you that. So our faith, be it the fundamental spiritual principle of the Christian walk, requires more from us than just existing. Okay? Faith requires us to have hope, but hope will only get us so far. Our faith is simply led by our hope, but one misguided expectation can derail our faith. We need to look at faith from a perspective of knowledge. Not that knowledge alone can explain faith. Okay? Not saying it can. But how we approach faith in our everyday lives needs knowledge that comes from on high. And when we express things through knowledge, how many people are teachers? I know we got a teacher or two in here, okay? When you have to expunge knowledge onto your students, you have to give them a process, correct? You have to show them a step-by-step-by-step process on how to complete said tasks, right? Well, guess what? Did you know your faith has a process? If you didn't, You're about to find out now. So what is a process? A process is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. I really hope you write that down, because that is a very, very, very Christian definition. It may not seem like one, but it is. It is a very godly definition. A series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. Everybody here knows there's an end game, right? Right? What's the end game? What's our goal? What are we trying to win? We're trying to win souls, right? Like we just said earlier, we're trying to overpopulate heaven, right, Nolan? Right? All right. But there's a process to getting that done. And it's not just going to be, oh, well, Pastor Mike and his team are going to go out there and all of a sudden, boom. No, there's an aspect of faith that needs to be implemented. Oh, and by the way, there's a process to that faith. All right? And he's working that out. So let's talk about this process. Well, we always compare everything that we do and we have to align it with what God does, right? So then I would have to say, okay, well, Gomez, if you're going to tell me that faith has process, then I would need you to tell me where there's an example of God utilizing a process in the Bible. And I would just say, just turn to Genesis chapter 1, the very first verse, and read until he's done. Because guess what? Every day was a process. He created everything in an order of process. He couldn't create the birds and the fish of the sea and the air if he didn't create the ocean and the land and the air, right? If he didn't divide it and separate it all, then where are you going to have fish in the air and birds in the water and it's going to be chaos, right? He has a process. There is a set way of doing everything in order. There's an order, okay? This is crucial. So are we not to emulate God? Absolutely, every day of our life, right? So if God institutes processes, then guess what we ought to do? Start instituting processes. Now you might be like, well, I don't know about that. That seems a little too regimented and religious. I don't know if I'm down for this. Whoa, pump your brakes. We're not talking about religious. We're talking about getting your faith in action. In order to get your faith in action, you actually have to do steps, right? You want to lose weight, right, Tony? Lost a lot of weight, right? Did it just magically disappear? No. What'd you have to do? Diet and exercise. You have to work. You actually have to do something. You have to be physically engaged. You cannot just sit on your rear end and just eat bonbons and magically weight falls off. It doesn't happen. I wish it did. I really do. I do, but it doesn't. You have to get up and run. You have to get up and walk and exercise, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a very important aspect of this faith in action. And what we're going to really do is take a look at the steps that were involved in this one aspect, this story. Everybody here knows it. So turn with me to Joshua 6. And like I said, this is where we're going to be doing a lot of studying. And, well, not going to take that much. It's the very first verse through verse 5. Everybody get there. Just put your hand up. Wave it around like you just don't care. Couple people there. Okay, so now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Barred closed. And the Lord said to Joshua, put yourself here. Okay, just take a minute. Put yourself here. You walk over. God's telling you, we're going to go to Jericho. There's things to be done in Jericho. Okay. We march everybody over there. And you sit there and you look, and there's this huge fortress. And they got walls so high and these big giant doors. And you're looking at it going, okay, that's a big fortress. That's a huge wall. What do you want to do, God? God says, see, I've given Jericho to your hand. Doesn't look like you gave it to me. I was expecting the doors to be open. Everybody's already gone. They ran because they're afraid of us. No, that wasn't quite how it went down. Big walls, gates closed, fortified, ready to do battle. Not exactly what they were expecting. And not only did he give it over to him, but he gave him the king. and see the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. One time around, once a day, for 6 days. Okay? That's a step. Nope, that's a step. All right, moving on. Then, seven priests shall bear seven trumpets and ram's horns before the ark, but the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times. Extra laps, that's what those first six were for, to get your train ready to go. Okay? And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people will shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. How great. How awesome. Right? Now, most of you who have read and know this story knows the ending. Don't spoil it for those who haven't, all right? Don't steal my thunder. But if you know what happens, you know what's coming. But coming into this, Joshua is before a huge, massive fortress, and he's being told by the Lord, this is what I've given to you, and oh, by the way, here's the steps to make it happen. Right? But the key here, and this is the crucial step, a process. And really, if you want to write something really important down, write this down. A process is simply a theory without complementary action. If you have a process, and you even write it down, good. But if you don't line your actions up with every step in that process is just theory. It has no feet. It has no movement, it has no influence, and it has no action strength whatsoever. It's just words. God could have spoken that, and Joshua went, oh, no, it's all right, God. I know you're bigger than that. You can just make the castle crumble, and we'll walk in and clean up the mess afterwards. They'd have been not good. Because I can give you testimony of an area where turn around and they go into the camps and they're winning the battles and everything's going good, and God says, don't take any detestable thing out of this camp. And one person, just one person, said, it's all right, I'm going to take that, I'm going to take this, I'm going to take this, and nope, ooh, they lost the battle. Not only did they lose the battle, but those individuals who were involved also lost their lives. There's consequences for not following the steps. So what is the consequences when you're walking out in faith and you have these processes that you're walking out and you're saying, okay, God, I wrote this down. I know what you're telling me to do, but right here, I don't agree with you. You're going to fall, and you're going to fall hard. And not only when you fall hard, but your faith is going to get rattled. You're going to lose faith. You're going to not be able to believe God for the impossible that you already are trying to believe him for. Because when your faith gets rattled, the enemy's getting a foothold. The enemy's getting in your head. He's messing with you. Turn with me to James. Like I said, there are a lot of scriptures. I love James. Chapter 2, verses 16 through 24. It's a lot to read, I know. I'll try to get through it quickly. And one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warned and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe, and tremble. So just remember, when you're walking this out, you ain't the only one who believes in God. They believe too, but they tremble because they know what he can do. But you do not want to know, O foolish man, the faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Think about that. Think about that. Isaac brought his son. He was ready to plunge the knife into him. He was right there. Angel came up and said, whoa, 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 whoa. Good. I'm glad you have enough faith to believe God for that. But there's a ram over here. Get that ram and pull it down. But God rewarded his faith. Amen? That kind of faith can see the impossible. Not only that, but it brings over the promises of God. The great and many promises of God. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Of which, by the way, because we're seeds of Abraham, we too are friends of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Your faith cannot save you if you don't implement works that complement that faith. It only gets you... Yeah, you might come to the heaven and get there and be okay, but if your works did not align with that faith that you so adamantly professed, there could be a shortfall in your walk. And that may come into account when you stand before God. I'm not the judge. He is. I don't know what he's going to be looking for, but I don't want to be short there. I don't want to be missing my faith. I don't want to have him say, well, you wavered here. You bent this way here when you should have bent that way. I don't want to be in that situation. So, back to this wonderful toy that Miss Suzette has. We have a process, us cubers, as they call us. There is a process, a step-by-step process, to solve that mystery puzzle. When you learn the process, you don't struggle. You know how to solve it. It's not hard. Many of the kids love to mix it up. Pastor brings Aiden over to my house sometimes. And first thing he does, he grabs it because they're on the end table. He grabs them. I'll come back. I knew he was there. Why? It's all scrambled up. You love him, right? So I have to sit there and just and solve it. Put it back to normal. It's like a fun game, okay? Kids think that's amazing. But there's just a process. That's all it is. It's just a series of steps that I have to institute action in order to bring it to completion. Okay? So that same principle is your faith. So here we go. I'm going to give you the steps. I'm going to tell you how to make this magic puzzle not magical anymore. Okay? The first step is the white cross. Now, when we go on, we're going to talk about that today, but the next four steps after that, we're going to break them apart. But the spiritual principle that's aligned to the white cross is God's promise, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I love the fact that it's a cross. How awesome is that? This is fantastic. By the way, that is exactly what it's called. Step two is the bottom corners. This is establishing boundaries. Did you know you have to put boundaries on your faith? You do. You have to. Because the next step is the second layer. You have to align the second layer parts, right? Well, what is that? Now you need to elevate your boundaries or elongate your boundaries. You want to ask Pastor a good question? Ask him what God said about his house. And then God said, I want you to expand the tent pegs. How many people go ahead and they're approaching 50 and decide, oh, I want to refinance my house and make it bigger? Not many people want to sign up for that. Okay? Just saying. That's not a normal practice. But in the camp of God, that's probably a normal practice. Number two was the bottom corners, which was establishing boundaries. Okay, here's a big word. Step four is called the permutation of the last layer. Okay? This is gathering support or getting organized. Your faith cannot prosper by yourself. That's why you have a church. That's why you're encouraged to come to church. It isn't by yourself. Me and Jesus doesn't work in the kingdom of faith. It doesn't work because you will be swayed. You will be destroyed because the enemy will see you as a lone sheep out on the island by themselves and you're easy pickings. You're easy pickings. It's easy to rattle you and get you sidetracked and get you away from your faith. You need the body of Christ to help encourage you and lift you up in those times and needs. Your faith can't sustain itself on its own. It needs help. But that's what we're here for. An eye on a table by itself is kind of creepy, right, Hal? Right? Just weird. Has a socket. It belongs in a socket. It's got pretty eyelashes. Permutation of last layer. gathering support, and organizing. And step five is the orientation of the last layer. For you that don't know, just permutating the layer means you're just getting it all to be flush. But the pieces are still not in the right spots. It's not complete. The completion is getting them in their home, getting them right where they belong. And that's the engaging and the rejoicing in what God has promised. Because there's a finish. And it's there. You just need to put the things right where they belong. Everything else has gotten there. It's all finished. But you need to get it there. Ms. Suzette, could you do me a favor and just scramble it all up? Yeah. So while she's doing that, we're gonna go to step one, which is the white cross. Okay? And if you can, just turn to 2 Corinthians. First chapter. Verses 20 through 22. Says, for all the promises of God are in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. There's the trifecta, folks. Everything in faith is what? Yes and amen. Done. You cannot walk out of here today in a walk of faith and say, well, God, I'm not sure if that's you. I'm not too sure. No, your words need to be yes and amen. You want to see God work in your life? Start agreeing with him. Yep. Yes and amen. That's it. There is no in between. There's no other words. You shouldn't even think of them. Get them out of your diet. No is not a good word in the kingdom. It's just not. You don't go anywhere with no. Okay? God promised his son, who died on the cross for the remission of all sins so that we may find eternal salvation. Amen? Gave us his son. And then later, Christ promised his spirit, which will imbue us with power. Dunamis power. We have both. Do we not? Are they not available? If you haven't received Christ, come on up today. You have Christ. And by the way, afterwards, we'll baptize you. And then we'll get you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because without them, you go nowhere. Now, our petitions that align with Christ and the Holy Spirit will be done by God. Will be done. But the key word here is done. And our problem is we mess up with the word done. Done means he will set forth a process that our actions must set and align with in order to bring forth that promise. Okay? You have a job to do. God is not a genie in a bottle. He does not say, oh, this will be done for you. And there it is. It's done. He goes, oh, so you want that in your life? No problem. It's done in Jesus' name. You're going to walk around the camp once for 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to walk around 7 times and you're going to blow the trumpets. Did he not do that in Jericho? Is that not what we just read? He said, this is done. Here's the process to get it finished. Our faith will increase when we set forth actions in line with God's plan. Period. Hebrews 11, verse 1. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? We know this one. Hope fills our faith with processes that need completion. Hope is not the manifestation. Hope is simply the guide. It is the direction. It is giving you a point to focus on. Completing the process, however, brings forth the evidence of what was not previously seen. That means, and this is faith, folks, you have hope for God to bless your finances guess what you need to do? You need to research. What is it God wants to do? Oh, wait, God wants to give you these wonderful ideas to start a company, to start putting things in the hands of people that are going to bring forth the ability to advance his kingdom and his gospel. Amen. I'm on board, God. What do you want to do? What do you need to do? I need you first to go and establish the LLC. This is what you need to do. Step one accomplished. Now what, God? Now what do I need to do? You need to start financing it. How am I going to finance it? Well, I'm going to take care of that. You need to follow these steps. I didn't come and make this announcement today just because of any old reason. This is God's plan. And guess what? I'm on God's plan. And Ed is in agreement with me, so guess what? We're both in it together. We're in God's plan. We're walking out our faith, action step by step. And guess what's going to happen? What God promised. I don't want to reveal what God promised. That's for me and him. That's a treasure. You get the reward of having those treasures of knowing God did that in my life when I did this. And if you have that in your life, you want to know what the enemy can't steal? That's what the enemy can't steal. That's not where moth and rust can come and destroy. That's eternal. That's what he wants to do. So if you're not satisfied with where you're at in your walk and you're not happy with the things that are going on in your life, maybe you need a faith motivator. What you need to do is go to ask God, God, I need to increase my faith. I need some encouragement. Give me something that I can see happen in my life. And he's going to give you a process. I encourage you, walk it out and watch him do something magical and awesome in your life that you can't refute is him. And on top of that, that will increase your faith and that will grow you and mature you and make you more and more. It's like an, I hate to say the word, it's like an addiction. It's a good addiction because guess what? Once you get that, you're going to want greater things, you're going to want bigger things, and God will give them to you. Because you are now getting built up in your faith to accomplish even greater things. But where do we start? We have to start with that one immovable, infallible point. And that is what? Seeing who listened. Truth. Say it louder. Truth. You can't go anywhere if it goes against truth. So here's the, and this is the easiest part, guys. Ready? God's word says, you got this wonderful promise. Okay, God, I read your word today, and your word says that this promise is for me. I want that. Can I have that? Yes, you can. Here's what you need to do. If it aligns with his word, you're in like Flint. If it doesn't align with his word, like, God, I want a dragon. I don't want none of those wimpy dragons. I don't want one of those big fire-breathing dragons that I can ride around, like in that movie with the kids. I want one of those. Not sure that's in his word. Not sure. I might need to do some deep research here to figure that one out. But you got to line it up with God's word. If it's in there and it's a promise, guess what? It's already there for you. It's done. In Jesus' name, amen. But we need to see it come to fruition, right? So I get my hope encouraged. I go, okay, well, I have truth. I can count on that. I can put my hope in God's word because it doesn't disappoint, right? It never returns void. I can do that. Okay, I can do that. That's easy. So he's not a liar. So he's going to come and bring it to pass. So that's great. You can hold on to that. Now you just got to follow the steps. So let's take a look at the cube. Wonderful job, Miss Suzette. Give her a clap. She did a very good job. On Mother's Day, nonetheless, I put you to work. I'm so sorry. So, we have centers. And as I discussed, they don't move. I can rotate it, but the orange will always oppose red, yellow will always oppose white, green will always oppose blue. They don't change. Their orientation stays the same. I can count on that. And I use that to build what's called the white cross. This is building on truth, okay? So the centers equals truth, and truth equals God's word, right? This is truth. The promises of God are congruent to his word. That means every promise that God wants to bring to your life is there. You want to do a good study? Do a faith study. You want to go ahead and figure out what your faith is made up of. I need some encouragement. I need some growth. I need to grow my faith. God, Gary, I heard your word today. You know, it was really, really good. I love when people say that. I go, okay, what's so good about it? Love it. Take this part. If you want to remember and say it was good, and I want to, you want to hear what was so good about it, hear this part. Go do a study on the promises of God and just take one promise and bring it to God and say, God, I heard your word today. I'm doing this study on promises. I really like this promise that I found in your word today. I really believe that this is impactful for my life. I want this in my life. What do I need to do to make this happen? Write it down and then start walking it out and see if God does not bring it to pass. See, I challenge you. Remember, his word does not return void. Our faith is directly tied to the promises found in the word of God. We must seek out his word to find the truth that we need to enhance our faith. If we don't do this, then we're stuck. We're stuck at step one. You wonder how easy step one is? You take a white side, you find one white side, and you align it with its color. Now, some people may go, well, I don't know how to move this thing. Green's here, green's there. Move it here, move it there. Green's now center, right? Truth. So I align this with something that it can't go in. And since the white never moves, that means this is in its home. Bring it home. Now white and green are matched. You need truth. You need a foundation. This doesn't get solved if these pieces move. But because they don't, and they're firm, and they're grounded, I can rely on them. Just like I can rely on his word. Every single day of my life. If you want to really start encouraging yourself, why don't you spend more time in the word of God? Because that's step one. You don't, remember we say this all the time, God, I have your word and I know it's true. Okay, truth. Yes, you got word. You have truth in your hand. It's here. But it doesn't work this way. It's not going to just flow down into my brain and I'm going to learn what God's in store for me. I have to open it up. Oh, I have to read it. I have to pray over what I read and let it find fertile soil, so that it can take up root and grow. You're not going to get anywhere with osmosis faith. It doesn't work that way. So we got truth in our hands. We read it. We go, okay, I know it's true. Father, I have everything it says I have. That's a promise. I am everything it says I am. That's another promise. Because everything he says you are in here, guess what? It's true. And you can do everything he says he can do. Well, that means also another promise. That means guess what? If he says you are a conqueror, more than, then guess what? That mountain that you see over there, cast it out in the ocean in Jesus' name. You conquered it. Good for you. That's faith. Yep. You can do that because truth. If it's here, it's truth. Now, if you don't believe that this is truth, well, we have a whole nother problem then. That's a whole nother issue. Start there. And like I said, you want to encourage yourself. You want to start believing this is truth and this is the word of God and it's real and it's intangible and you can't do anything without it and none of this and all this stuff. And you want to get to that place. Then like I said, go do a study on promises. Find one that you really like and go, God, I want this in my life. Just one promise. Start small. It's okay to start small. I started small. Some of you have seen, I have some other ones that look like that's really strong faith. Because you can do that, well then you can do almost the impossible, right? So, you continue to go, aligning pieces, building them one by one, lining them to the centers, and bringing them down, you'll finish with a white cross. Okay? Again, what does it signify? It's God's promises. This is your hope. Jesus is your hope. Jesus is the only way you're going to get through anything in faith. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ to accept salvation, right? How many people believe they're saved in Jesus Christ? I was going to say, please? Seriously? I'm not too sure. If you're not sure, I'm going to encourage you to come up today. You need to get sure. Because you want to believe God's going to do impossible things in your life. You need to believe that first and foremost. You need to have that grounded. You need to know he died for you and that there's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing that he can't do. But know this. Moving forward, if you're going to see faith manifest and grow in your life, it's going to require actions. The process is simple. There are simple steps. Look at Jericho. How hard was that? Was that not, like, if you were sitting there thinking about this and you were in that time, you would sit there and go, really? That's all? I don't have to, like, pull out a pitchfork and start chiseling at the wall. I don't have to bring the ram and lug it in and batter the ramp door down. No, 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 no. Just walk around. You don't have to run. Just walk. Do you know what the people up there were probably thinking? Why are they walking around us? They're not even doing anything. Just walking. No, no, you don't understand. No, I know. They're here, but they're just walking around. I don't know why. This is weird. And then on day 7, after 6 days, they're probably sitting there going, they're back again. Here they go. Ooh, yeah, okay. Poking, making fun of them probably, right? Look at these guys. Look at these guys. They're not even attacking us. Day 7 comes around. They're like, wow, well, they're moving really fast. They're actually going around a couple times now. I don't know what's going on. Oh, they're blowing trumpets now. Whoa. This is weird. They're not attacking us. Should we do something? No, no, no. Just let them play their music. It's fine. It's fine. Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry about it. And then there's this really long blast, and everybody goes, and cheers real loud, and then their wall goes, we have a problem. All that stuff they were doing doesn't make sense. Well, what does God use things that are foolish? He's going to confound the wise with them. So guess what? Don't be surprised, again, because God's character, he made a platypus, all right, is sometimes going to have a process that's going to seem foolish to you. Don't look at it that way. Count on this. It doesn't matter how foolish it is. It doesn't matter how simple it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Just do it. And believe, as you're doing it, that this is going to end with what God promised. That's faith. That's the fundamental principle. That is your foundation from which all things, no matter how big, no matter how small, will start at that basic principle. If you get that, you're going to have a really awesome time with the kingdom of God. Because God's going to do really cool things with you. Oh, and by the way, when you recognize, oh, I have a destiny. Oh, and that's even bigger steps. Oh, and then he's going to do even greater things with you. And this is going to involve you and this person. And then it gets really, really deep and you're going, all right, God, process. Let's walk it out. In Jesus' name. Guess what? We talk about how Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. We're saying 40,000. Let's go tri-state. Let's go past Pittsburgh. Let's go United States. Let's take over the government. Let's take over Canada. Let's stretch to Mexico. Let's go into South America. World doesn't have a chance. Amen? Why? Is that not what he promised? Is not all the land promised? Everywhere you set foot is yours. So there's no hope. The world doesn't have a chance. The enemy's defeated, right? He has no victory. He just pretends. He's good at dissuading us. Not anymore. Tell him to take a hike. We say that all the time, right? Right, Pastor Mike? Get the monkey off your back. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. If this were a math problem, Daniel, this would be called an expression. Faith equals hearing, and hearing equals the word of God. Therefore, faith equals the word of God. That's where it comes from. There's no misconstruing it. Romans 10:17 gives us the first knowledge-based approach to faith, which is faith is based in truth or God's word. We must know God's word and his character so we can ultimately understand this great faith that he has given to us. Yeah. We are not sons of God through faith. Are we not also heirs to the promises of Abraham? If so, then we have dominion over the gates of the enemy. By faith, the gates of hell shall not prosper, and by the same faith, you are blessed. With the knowledge of being blessed and not having to deal with the schemes of the enemy, you are free to start walking out your faith in Jesus' name. So I'm going to encourage everybody to stand up. And we're going to end this with a simple prayer. Real simple prayer. Lord, I have your word. And I know it's true. I can do everything it says I can do.
I have everything it says I have.
And I am everything it says I am. And I'm going to add one more thing to this today. And I will do.
I will do.
What you give me to do.
What you give me to do.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Go set the world on fire.
Amen.
Amen.